Shall we get this party started?
Is everybody in?
Let's do it. In. Thanks for coming, everybody. My name is Cameron Skinner, and over here to my right is Doug Seven. Doug, you'll notice, is not Sam George. Sam George was supposed to do this talk with me, but came down with something nasty, which rendered him completely useless, so I went to get Doug, who's a little less useless.
Marginally yeah. Less.
Just a little bit. So I am the director of engineering of Azure IoT. So it's my team that builds the Azure IoT Hub, which is one service in the Azure IoT collection of services that we've talked about. Doug, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Doug Seven, and I work with Cameron on the Azure IoT team. For the last, year and a half or so, I've actually been working in our DX group, which is our developer experiences group, where we do outreach with customers and communities. And in that time, I've been working with a lot of customers who have been working in the IoT space, creating new devices to do new things in new environments and connecting up to the cloud. And I've been working with Cameron and his team on what that means for real customers, and they made me come work for them.
It's all part of the plan. So what we're going to do is we've got a decent talk, lots of demos, and then hopefully we'll have time for some decent question and answer kind of thing with these mics here in the middle of the room. So with that, let's get going.
Yeah, we have a few things to cover today that we'll talk about. So this is sort of the roadmap of what we'll spend the next 58 minutes now talking about. And like Cameron said, we have a lot of demos to show, so we'll get things underway pretty quickly. We'll start by talking about the IoT revolution. You're all here because you're interested in IoT. IoT represents, we think, one of those really pivotal shifts in what happens in the developer community and in the world at large from a technology perspective. If you think back to the sort of mainframe to PC transformation that occurred, and as Microsoft developers, maybe even the transformation that happened about 16 years ago or so when .NET Framework was introduced, it really took something that was conceptually around and had been around for a long time, but really made it very approachable and very easy for developers to start working with these frameworks that would give you an abstraction of the underlying technology. That then went into a transformation around mobility and smartphone, which, probably, 10 years ago, was really a big transformational point for how we thought about computing and computing technology and computing power. And we went from, mainframe went from these big computers to these sort of portable computers, and then we went to computers that fit in our pocket. Now we believe we're at this other technological transformation where we're going to these very small, low-powered computing devices that can be embedded in things or put in things or scattered about, and they're going to create, the IoT devices and the IoT services are going to create another one of those sort of epic shifts in technology and how we work, and many of you are probably already seeing that today, which is why you're here, and the services that we're building in Azure are meant to support that transformation and make it easy for you to work in this new space. All of this is supported by some theories and laws that exist in technology, and these are here really just as proof points to represent that things like Moore's law that talks about the number of transistors in a circuit doubling every 2 years, or Kumi's law talking about the actual transactional power of a circuit based on the amount of electricity it consumes, the joules of electricity, will double about every 1.5 years. What these mean together is that we have much, much smaller devices that are capable of doing much, much more than they were ever capable of doing before. Those two laws come together to basically say that.
And just to add to this, if you listen to or read a lot of these, the analyst reports, everyone's trying to figure out, hey, listen, how many devices are there? What are we talking about? How many sensors are we talking about in the near future? You see a bunch of numbers, but one that sticks out to me, I think it was a Gartner report that basically predicted in 2020, we're expecting 50 billion sensors out there. Billion.
B.
So even if they're, 50% wrong, that's still a lot of devices.
Yeah. See, that's why he's a director. He listens to the analysts.
math is hard.
Metcalfe's law, of course, the network of devices, the number of devices, the value of that network is squared by the number of devices. All of this is what makes IoT really compelling. You are getting smaller and smaller devices that are more and more powerful, and we can now start to build these networks of devices and things, and we're going to create a lot of data and do a lot of stuff with it. So it all starts with a great idea.
Like a shirt that lights up.
That's a great idea.
It says Azure IoT. That was awesome.
A connected shirt would be fantastic. Or some headphones or something like that would be incredible. Starts with a great idea. And I talk to people all the time who are like, oh, I've got this great idea, and now I've got to go do something. And so then you think, well, The idea is driven by all these questions. What if my device could tell me when they go someplace? Like my shirt could tell me when it left the house, right? Or what if I knew what my things were going to break before they broke, right? I want to know, kind of like a check engine light. I want to know before it breaks that I need to do something about it and react to it. What if I could tell when it's the best time for my thing to do something? You think about this a lot in energy or in heating, where you know the cost of power is variable based on time of day and usage, and so understanding time is really important. What if I simply knew where my things were? I lose my things all the time. Having something that would tell me where they are would be great, or if you're in the shipping industry or logistics or something like that. What insights could I get from all of my devices? When I have this network effect of all these devices collecting data and bringing it into me, what are the insights I could derive from that I could learn from and I could do something different than I'm doing today? And what if I could use device telemetry to improve? Now, Cameron and I actually both came from working in Microsoft's developer division where we worked on Visual Studio. Who here uses Visual Studio? I thought so. Okay. One of the things that we've done in other Microsoft products, including Visual Studio, is when you install it, we ask you if you're willing to send us data about your usage of that product to help us make that product better. And we take that data and we look at it, and it's usage data, and we derive insights from it, and we use that and apply it into our engineering practices to make a better product. What if you could do that in the device world? What if your devices could tell you about what's happening around them and what's happening with them, and you could use that to create better things? Imagine if a car could tell you how it's being used, and you're an automaker, and you can use that data to then make a better car, right? So it starts with the great idea, so then comes the device. You have to then build the physical thing. So you build a device, and then you start getting data from that device, and that's awesome, we all like that. And then you have to think about, oh gosh, now I gotta secure this device, I gotta lock it down, I gotta do some encryption. Then I start getting insights from that device. So now it's sending me data, it's totally secure, I'm really happy, and I'm starting to get insights from how it's being used. And I've got one of these things, and I'm learning from it, and I'm building my system, and that's great. And then I make more, and I make more devices, and that makes a lot more data. And now I've got 100 devices, and 1,000, and 1,000,000, and 2,000,000, and what was it, 50 billion?
50 billion.
Devices sending me data. I'm monitoring that data in real time, I'm getting insights from it, I'm getting value, real business value from that device, or those devices. And then I start thinking about things like machine learning and other insights tools to start looking for patterns, and I want to start clustering things, and I want to start understanding how they're being used and really get that insight from that data over time. And then I have to think about, okay, I got one, and then I got 100, and then I got 1,000,000, and then I put them out in the field, and now I've got an update, and now I've got to update those devices, and I've got 1,000,000 of them or 50 billion of them or whatever. And then I want to start visualizing all that, and I want to manage those things, and I want to group them, and I want to do all these things with them. And that is hard. Like, that is really, who's doing this already? Yeah, because it's hard, this one guy. He's like, yeah, I'm doing that. It's really hard. So the idea behind what we've been working on in the Azure IoT services is what can we do to make that easier, right? What can we do? So without getting too sales pitchy, we have a bunch of services that enable this, that take the pain away from you and make it easy for you to just think about your business and what you're trying to do with that data and get it in there. Everything from IoT Hub, which serves as that cloud-based backend for your devices to be registered with and to provide some authentication and authorization of those devices or deny a device if it's become rogue or any of that stuff, to Stream Analytics, where I can start looking at that data in real time and building rules around it and making some decisions, storage, services, Power BI for visualizing that data, logic apps, everything. All of these services are designed to support the IoT space, and when they come together, you start to think about the solutions that you could build with them and what you can do with that. So there's a lot more to it. So it kind of looks like this, right? This is the solution. It's clear where the starting point is. You know what you have to do. You know what you have to build. You start with one of these.
That's obvious, right? Just pick one.
Totally. I'm going to pick...
Are you feeling lucky, Doug?
Hold on. Wait for it. I lost it. All right, so Cameron, make it easy for me. Make it easy for me.
I think we can do something for you, Doug. So how many folks saw the keynote this morning? Okay, so you saw, I touched a little bit about what the Azure IoT suite is all about. And it really is about making that situation Doug just described a whole lot easier for you to deal with. This is really a quick a reference kind of architecture of what the Azure IoT suite, it deploys a pre-configured solution into your subscription, and this is the kind of architecture that it generates for you automatically without you having to write something. And so it allows you to connect, it generates a bunch of simulated devices, and I'm going to show you this a little bit more, but it generates a bunch of simulated devices and also allows you to connect actual physical devices through UI. And it gives you and automatically deploys an IoT hub, which is your telemetry ingestion data point, and then feeds that to Stream Analytics, where you can associate alert values, and we've got a couple example alerts that are really just a Stream Analytics jobs, which then feeds back into event hubs and web jobs and storage, and it's all these things together shows that dashboard, which I'd like to get
Absolutely.
Into now.
Absolutely. Why talk when we can show?
Yes, exactly. So if you go to, here we go. If you go to AzureIoTSuite.com, you will see, most likely you'll just see this one tile here. This one is actually a solution that I've already pre-deployed, but I wanted to kind of go through what it looks like to create one of these solutions. And right here you see two pre-configured solutions, and I mentioned this in the keynote this morning. You've got a predictive maintenance solution and a remote monitoring solution. Well, which one should you use? Well, the idea is these are pre-configured solutions that will exemplify some significant piece of this IoT challenge that we've presented, Doug has now presented you with. The predictive maintenance is if you've got a problem or you want to do some what-ifs around a maintenance-like scenario. The scenario that you see here is that you'll see in the predictive maintenance solution is we've attached Azure machine learning to the back end, and there's twin turbine engines that we basically show you the Azure ML algorithms that will attempt to indicate to you based on the runnings of those turbine engines when they actually need maintenance. So if you need an example of how to use Azure ML with your devices, this would be a great choice to do. Now, the remote monitoring is a more basic, but actually a more common kind of scenario, which is just, look, I've got devices, and I need to control them remotely. And that's what remote monitoring is all about. So I'm actually going to go in there and show you this in more detail. And so here, it requires a unique name, and I'm sure Build 2016 is not unique. So I'm just going to add a few more numbers to it until it is unique. Okay, there we go. This is built, I'm jumping way into the future on this one. Then you select a region, and this, again, think of this as you're going to select a region where this solution is going to go and deploy into. I'm going to pick East US, and actually, let's do that West US, how about that? And then a subscription, and you pick a subscription, and then you say, create solution. Now, before I do that, you'll notice that when creating this, that huge slide that Doug showed you, this is a list of all the things that this is going to go and deploy for you automatically, okay?
So that's where you start.
Yes.
Got
yes.
It.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Yeah.
So I hit create solution, and away it goes. Now, this generally takes, like I said, about 5 or so minutes, and so I'm just going to let that go and then jump back over to the other portal. And see, once you see it, it says it's provisioning here, and if I actually select this, you'll actually see, hey, we're provisioning log, and it shows you what it's doing while it does it. Okay, but like I said, that'll take 5 or so minutes. So what I'm going to do in the meantime is I'm going to go show one that I've already pre-deployed and call out a couple things here on the right. So just the act of selecting this, you will see where this thing was deployed, the subscription ID, et cetera. But the thing that I want to really point out to you here is where the source code for this solution, where that resides. Because all of this, all the code that is driving this dashboard that you'll see here is in a GitHub repo that we've open sourced. And so all of that code is stitching together. That's what I meant when I said, hey, these pre-configured solutions stitch together all those back-end services that Doug showed you. It stitches all those things together to show you how to use them and how to do something like this solution. Okay? So I really wanted to call that out for you. And then, you know, links to developer documentation here, et cetera. I can make that a little bit bigger so you can see that. So here.
Well, let's hear it for GitHub.
GitHub, yeah. GitHub source repo and the developer documentation. Okay. Now, let me launch the solution and just go into this a little bit. And actually, this is, you know, this is a good security measure that after a while it'll just die out and you got to log back in. Okay. So what you see here, there's no code to write. I gave it a couple a couple different things, remember the solution ID, and boom, you get all this information. This is a live map. This is showing you, if I select these, this is showing you devices. And now this particular one is a simulated device that we've generated. In fact, if I show you, if I click on devices, there's a simulated device, and I actually have a physical device that I was using during the build, the keynote, which I don't have right here, but this is a simulated device. And this also allows you to do a number of other things, like set up rules, like I mentioned. And this is where I set up this rule that I used during the keynote, which was the temperature goes less than 20, away you go. And you can create custom ones of these. You can create actions, such as an alarm humidity. You want to raise an alarm, et cetera, et cetera. The idea here is give you enough infrastructure, make this app comprehensive enough so that you can get in and do some what-ifs. A lot of companies and a lot of our customers that we are working with who are really interested in this turn out to be folks that aren't technically deep like you folks. These are folks that say, look, I own this business, and I know I've got a bunch of hardware that's generating a whole bunch of data, and I just want to understand what's possible. And how can Microsoft and Azure help me with that? This is a great solution for that, because you can get in here and you can start to play with things, and you can start to do those what-ifs, okay? That's really what we built this for. And then, of course, we make that open source, we put it in GitHub, and in order for you to then, for that person to then turn around to you type of folks and say, can you do something with this source code and do something a little bit more specific to my domain so that I can then go and take this higher up the chain, let's say. Does that make sense?
The idea behind the IoT suites is really, you can get started in minutes. Cameron can show you, you're going to take 5-10 minutes to provision one of these. And then once you understand it, you can really customize it to meet whatever needs you have. And we've seen customizations of IoT suite that are actually really quite incredible when you start applying them to your own business domain.
Yeah. So we're not going to wait for this. This is still going. By the time we're a little farther down the road, this will be done, and I can actually bounce back over and show you what that looks like.
All right. We'll come back over here. So you saw Cameron show you the IoT suite, remote monitoring service architecture. We kind of walked through it before. It starts with IoT Hub, which is what we build. And then those rules he talked about, where you can create the rules, like when the temperature goes below 20, turn the T-shirt on. That's based in Stream Analytics, where you can create these jobs that run, and they look at that data as a data stream coming in real time and can react to it and do something interesting with it. You can start putting it into storage and do something with it later. This is a great way to work with things like machine learning. And then you can have Event Hub coming out of that Stream Analytics job, set you up for different web jobs. You can work with apps and business processes and connect all your things to things that are of value to the business. Web apps and Power BI and Active Directory and all these great things. So what you saw was the total encapsulation of all of this with either simulated or real physical devices that you can connect to this service and just make it work. So all that complex stuff that we talked about, we wrapped up, put it in a package. You can deploy it in 5 or 10 minutes, customize it to meet your needs. So IoT Hub is designed for all these great things. IoT Hub is a component of that solution, really designed to be the back end to all your devices, to give you that ability for your devices to connect, give you the ability to do what we call device-to-cloud messaging, so sending messages from your device into a queue in IoT Hub, or cloud-to-device messaging, so sending messages from the cloud back down to those devices, monitoring them, using different protocols in the IoT space. There's multiple protocols in use. We support AMQP, MQTT, HTTP. We have some tools to support AMQP over WebSockets if you want. So a lot of capability built into IoT hubs as the entry point for your connected devices into the larger Azure service system. To support this on the device side, so we've been talking about sort of the cloud side and all these services. To support it on the device side, we've created a device SDK. Again, open source, lives in GitHub. You're more than welcome to contribute to it if you want, but we're actively working on it. It's open source, it's cross-platform, and when we say cross-platform, what we mean here is for all these little devices, some of them run real-time operating system or RTOS, Some of them run Linux, some run Windows, some run iOS, some run Android. We have device SDKs for all of those platforms. It works across those platforms. You can develop in different languages depending on the OS you're working with. So C, Java, Python, C Sharp, my favorite, Node.js. I love doing Node.js applications on small devices. Xamarin compatible, which, not to steal Cameron's thunder, but we're going to see in a minute. Super easy to get started out on GitHub. You can go up there, you can start downloading the client code and start working with it. This morning we announced the Azure Certified for IoT Devices. We have about 50 partners so far that we've certified their devices to work with Azure. And all that means is those partners have taken their devices and connected them up to Azure IoT Hub, run some tests that we've provided them, and shown that their devices are 100% compatible with Azure IoT Hub. That doesn't mean those are the only devices compatible with IoT Hub. It just means that we've done the work with those partners to prove that they work. So 50 different partners and growing every day. We're working with new partners all the time to certify devices. Everything from little tiny devices that are, you know, the size of my fingernail to bigger devices with more power and more capability. Everything from Raspberry Pis, Intel Edisons, BeagleBones, a bunch of them, Freescale, all kinds of them. So I'm going to turn it over to Cameron again to show us some of that device SDK and cross-platform support, if you don't mind, Cameron.
Sure. So what I'm going to show you here is I'm going to show you a couple different things. I want to show off the cross-platform nature of the SDK. So I'm going to spend a lot of time using Node.js. I happen to be running OS X here. I'm using Node.js. I'm going to use Node.js to show you how to create or provision a device with the hub. I'm then going to go and jump into Xamarin to show you an iOS app that can then real easily talk to the Azure IoT Hub. And then I'm going to show you a Node.js app that actually connects up to the Azure IoT Hub. Say that fast
easy
a couple times.
Easy for you to say.
That sends a message back to this client. And you'll see that communication. So the first thing that I want to do is I'm going to go into VS Code, and I want to show you the script that I'm going to execute here. Let me make that a little bit bigger for you. I'm going to show you, basically, this is the script that I'm using to provision a device, to create a device so that Azure IoT Hub understands what that device is and can communicate with that device in a secure way. So I'm going to bounce back over here, and I'm going to go into my create, and I'm going to run my create device identity.js. Let me bring this up here so that folks in the back can see this a little bit better as well. Can you guys see that okay? Yeah?
If you applaud like you can see it, the guys next door think we're doing really good.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. That was cheap. Okay. Okay. So let's do that. Let's create the device identity. And now what you see here is the name of the device, which I actually, that was the name I gave it when I'm provisioning, and then a device key. And this is device key has now been registered with the hub in order to create a connection string that's specific to this device. Now, where is that connection string? Well, if you read some of the docs, you could get at this connection string in a number of different ways. But we've recently updated the Azure IoT Hub portal in order to make these kind of things, getting these device connection strings a little easier. So let me go bounce over here. Here I have the portal, the Azure portal, and I've got an IoT Hub here. And you notice this says devices for folks that can't see that in the back here. Devices. And this is we just put this in, I don't know, a week and a half ago. So if you haven't been on the portal lately, this is brand new. Basically, what this does is it gives me a list of all the devices that are actually provisioned with the hub. And so in this particular case, this is the device that I just created. And here are all the connection strings that I would need to communicate with the hub. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to put this on the clipboard here. And then I'm going to bounce over to Xamarin. And I'm going to create a new solution. And in this case, I'm going to create that iOS. I'll just create a single view app, keep it simple. I'm going to give this a really spectacularly unique name and go in and create a Xamarin solution. Okay, now at this point, nothing new going on here. However, what I need to do, the first thing I need to do when I get in here is I need to right-click on the project, and I want to go to Add, and I want to say Add New Git Package. Because what I need is I need the Azure IoT Hub SDK. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to type in microsoft.azure.devices in order to get a list of the NuGet packages associated with the Azure IoT Hub. And in this particular case, you'll see Microsoft Azure Devices Client PCL. So what we recently did is we created a portable class library that wraps up our Azure Client SDKs in a way that Xamarin can then use. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring that in. I'm going to say add the package. And then that will pull down that package and any dependencies it may have so that I'm ready to use that inside Xamarin. Okay? So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to show off my UI skills. And I am going to build a really complicated, extraordinarily complicated iOS app that will consist of two buttons and a text view.
Stepped it up from console.
Thank you. The first thing I want to do to show you guys is I'm going to create a button on this storyboard. And again, this is an iOS concept. And I'm going to find the button. I'm going to drag this thing out. And let me resize this thing. Whoop, having troubles here. Let me resize this and name it. Called it Send Message. Okay. So I need to go write some code that handles this send message.
Can we just hear it for your UI skills, quite frankly?
Thank you. That was really, really amazing. Yeah. Okay. That's really painful.
That'll be on my performance review, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to do that, which is basically a code snippet that I'm cheating a little bit here. However, I need to take that that device, that connection string here, and I need to paste it in here. And I just messed up. I hit the Command C, so let me bounce back over here, copy that again, come back over, paste. There we go. And so what I'm doing here, and let me resolve some of these dependencies. So very much like in Visual Studio, Xamarin also has the way to resolve type dependencies so I jam in the correct using statements that I need. So because I added that PCL package, I can then say, okay, yeah, I need the using Microsoft Client SDK, and then I'm also using this encoding, and I need to use the system text. Okay, so now everything should resolve appropriately. But this is all you need, four lines of code, is all you need to make an iOS app talk and be able to send messages to Azure IoT Hub. That's it. That's a place where you probably
really? I didn't think I'd have to ask. I thought it would just happen.
It's a long day. Okay. So real quick, we've got the device client creates that connection string using the connection string that I pulled from the portal. I'm going to send a message to the hub called Hello from iOS. And I'm going to new up that message and then send it, OK? It's that simple. But now, how do we see it? So I'm going to send this to the IoT Hub, but how do you know that it actually got there? OK, let me jump back over here. And what I want to do is I've created another script here called Read Device to Cloud Message. And now this script is this is still Node.js. It's a little more complicated because this Node.js script is actually attaching itself to the back-end stream where messages are coming through the hub. And this code right here is it handles all the heavy lifting to connect to the proper partition and pull off the message, okay? And so if everything goes well, you'll see this script say, I'm going to listen to four different partitions, because by default, when I deploy an Azure IoT Hub, we use an event hub on the back end that has four default partitions, which you can listen to. And so once that does that, then it's just going to print out, once it gets an event that hits a queue, I'm sorry, not an event, and a message that hits one of those queues, it's going to print it out. So let me run that script. Node, read, device, cloud, messages. And so you should see this thing connect and then listen on various partitions, okay? So now this little Node.js script is sitting there waiting for a message to hit the hub. So now let's go send in a message. Okay, let me go back over to Xamarin, and let's build this thing. Now, this is going to do the classic build, but then the other interesting thing is it's going to fire up the iOS simulator. Now, this is the iOS simulator. I'm running on an OS X box. This is the simulator that you would see. So now let me scroll into view there. Again, I mentioned my UI skills. I didn't even get it on the screen. That's awesome. This, I send the message, hello from iOS. Okay, let's do it again. Send a message. That's awesome. So with those four lines of code, I sent that message to the IoT hub. Okay, cool, but we're not done yet. I want to now write a Node.js script that sends a message to the hub that is really targeted at the device that's here, that this iOS app. So this is called a cloud-to-device message, okay? And you can do that through the Node.js SDKs as well. So let me leave that simulator running. Let me hop back over here. And I need to add some more UI. So let me get a button here.
Buckle up, everybody.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, let me make this a little bit bigger. And I'm going to call this receive message. Receive message. Awesome. Thank you. I hit answer. So painful. Okay. And now I've got another little snippet here called C2D and a little bit more complicated code, but not much more. I'm going to paste in that connection string again. And I need to resolve one little bit there. And, oh, yes, I need to do one other thing. So what I'm going to do here, again, this is a receive. So this app is going to get a message from the hub, a message that I sent from the Node.js little client that I was just playing with. And I'm going to put the received messages into a text view, which I am going to draw right now. So let me do that. Text view. Drag this out. Drop it there. Excellent. Let's give it the name that I'm going to refer to it by in my cloud, in my code behind. Let me remove all this nonsense. Okay, and I think I'm good to go. Let's give this a shot. So, now, let's run this. Make sure everything's happy. Excellent. Excellent. Okay, there's my new UI. Okay.
I love your alignment, by the way.
Yeah, you like that? I spent a lot of time with that. Okay, so, I'm going to kill this one, and I'm going to go over to my send. And now what I'm going to do is, let me show you that code. I didn't show you the code. In my send CD to message. So here's what the send looks like. I'm creating another client because I'm running it from this OS X box. I'm connecting to it, and I'm looking for a specific device, right? And I'm going to open the connection, and on an interval, I'm going to send a number of messages for the next two seconds. And you'll see here, hello from Azure Cloud. And I'm simply, you know, incrementing the message number. Okay, so you'll see for 2 seconds, I'm going to generate a bunch of messages. And this is key because the command and control from Azure IoT Hub is actually queue-based. So if you have a device that's offline, we're not going to lose the message on you, right? So it's going to queue up, and then it'll be, you know, the device, well, it'll be a first in, first out. Thank you. First in, first out from the device. Okay, and let me show you what that looks like. Okay, so if I'm going to run the send message, it's going to connect, and then it's going to start sending messages. Okay? So the message is enqueued. Now, I'm over here, and now all I need to do is, on this device, I say receive message, and if everything works, I should get the first message that went into the queue.
Notice the number in the message. If you look at the JSON, there's a number indicating the order in which they entered the queue.
Yes. So if I keep clicking receive message, you should see 2, and now it'll go to 3, and guess what the next one's going to be? Yep, 4, and 5, right? It's pulling off the queue, okay? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I hope that wasn't too complicated. Basically, I just wanted to emphasize the fact that we've got this cross-platform capability in the SDKs that we're trying to make it as easy to use as possible, regardless of what type of device or what language that you are really in love with. Use anything. We're really trying to make it just whatever you need, however you need it, this should work for you.
Exactly. And depending on the device you're using, the language may be dictated for you. So
yeah,
fantastic, awesome. Obviously, you don't have to have something where you click a button to get a message. You could be constantly receiving messages, but it was a great way to show the queuing mechanism and how it works. You can imagine a wide variety of scenarios in which you would have a device or an app sending messages to the IoT hub, and another device or another app receiving those messages back. You know, a huge variety of scenarios. For the remainder of the time, I want to talk to you about new stuff. So most of what you saw has been out in IoT Hub already. We've made some incremental improvements to it. I want to talk about the new stuff that we announced today and what it means, because it's actually quite cool. So we have a bunch of things. I'm going to walk through all of these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time right here talking about them. But we have IoT Hub device management. We announced a new Gateway SDK, some IoT starter kits, and some new Azure region availability. If you remember, Scott showed the little tiny truck and the big thing. So let's talk about device management real quick. We showed how you can do messaging with these devices, and we talked about the complexity around when you have these devices out in the field and how do you do things. Right now, we have all the ability to do CRUD operations on devices. I want to create a new device. I want to do other things with it. I want to send messages back and forth. The device management gives us the ability to really do more than just say, I've got a device and it's sending me messages, or I've revoked a device and now I no longer get messages from it or send messages to it. But instead, we have the ability to do things like manage those devices, do software or firmware updates to those devices, handle configurations. We can group those devices into topologies or subtopologies. All of this is based on a set of standards from the Open Mobile Alliance, the lightweight machine-to-machine protocols, very common open source protocols that are used all throughout machine-to-machine and IoT scenarios. So we're right on top of all the most common standards that are being used. You get to manage the way you talk to devices. You get to manage the way you work with devices. You get to do it the way you want. And you get to really focus on better orchestration and better collaboration between your IT group and your operations or OT group. So device management is huge. When we think about that, what does that look like? You can imagine, like, we'll use the building management scenario. We have lots and lots of devices in a building or in multiple buildings or across a campus or wherever it may be. And so you can do some logical grouping of those devices and say, okay, well, here in every room, I've got a temperature sensor and a motion sensor, and I use that to control the, if I see motion, then I turn the temperature up and turn the lights on, and if there's no motion, I do the inverse. And so I can organize those by rooms, and I can group those rooms by floor, and I can group those floors by building. So I'm creating topologies and subtopologies. And I can do updates based on those topologies. So if I want to roll out an update to some devices, but I want to isolate which devices I'm rolling those out to based on those topologies, for example, I can just do an update to floor one because floor one is different than floor two, and I don't want to do it to everything. I can do that, or I can do it to an individual room. I can also do security isolation based on some of these topologies and some of these groups. So I can permission group one, or you know, floor one, different than I permission group two. So now with the device management capabilities, I have update and grouping and security-based topologies and things like that that make it really interesting. So this means I can enroll devices, I can organize my devices, I can maintain them, I can decommission them, I can do all the things you want to do when you start thinking about, I've got more than one. When you've got one, it's really easy. When you have 100, it's harder. When you have 1,000, it's really hard. When you have 1,000,000, it's even harder. And it is not hard to have 1,000,000, quite frankly. In a building especially, it would not be hard. So if you think about how this works, we start with the device. And what is on the device itself? So on the device is primarily two things. One is the device management client library. So just like we saw the device client library for doing the messaging, we have a device management client library that sits on that device. And then your device code, the whatever code you write, whatever function that thing performs. That's on the client side. Now, on the service side, up in IoT Hub and IoT Suite, you have a representation of that thing. So you saw Cameron showed in IoT Hub where he could create a device. That was a software representation of the physical device. And that software representation of that device is just an object that's up there, and it maintains the last known state of that device and what it was doing. So you can always go check and say, what was the last known state of that device? And then we add all these device management APIs, so we have things like the registry manager, so I want to create a device, update a device, delete a device, all those things, all the CRUD operations around devices. We have grouping APIs, so how do you organize those devices, how do you add devices to groups, how do you remove devices from groups, how do you create those topologies and subtopologies. Querying APIs, so you can imagine if you want to search for devices that have a certain tag, that maybe have a certain type of device, or you know, you say, I want to find all devices of this this type or this firmware or whatever it may be, and I want to see what their last known state was, whether it was enabled or disabled or something like that. all the non-application level stuff. And then job APIs, so you can do things like creating and monitoring and doing all the things you would do with devices. And then behind all of that is your application code, and you're talking from your application code through IoT Hub using those protocols, the lightweight machine-to-machine protocols, over CoAP and TCP, to your device. So that's the scenario on how it works. And now it's a lot to digest in there. There's a lot to for us to take in. So Cameron, once again, ladies and gentlemen, is going to show us how it works.
Yes.
Let me switch you over there.
Oh, sure. So what I'm going to show you here is, by the way, the Azure IoT suite that we started at the beginning here has successfully, that's a lot of solutions that we've.
You created a lot of suites.
Yeah, I actually didn't do that. it did actually complete, which, and everything worked well, so that's all good news. Okay. Back to this. Okay, so what you see here is an Azure IoT suite that we have actually customized a little bit to show a device that's been disabled. And what we've done, and I'm going to show you in a second, we've added a button here that allows me to update the firmware of this particular device. This device is right here. It's an Intel Edison board. It's running Yocto Linux. And I'm going to update the firmware via a command coming from the Azure IoT suite. Let me show you how I can do that. So right now, it is disabled. And it's disabled because that client library is essentially, it's turned off. It's not up. The agent is off. So what I'm doing is, here, I am actually, I've got a serial connection to this Edison board here. And I'm going to run my little script to start the client. And what you'll see is, it will connect, and it'll start to speak LWM to M to IoT Hub. And I'm going to spend about 30 minutes talking about each of these things here in about... I'm not going to talk about this. So this is native LWM to M back and forth to the hub. Okay, the interesting thing that's going to happen here, though, if I refresh, this should now be enabled. There we go. Okay, so it's running.
I'm just here for you.
That's just super painful. Okay, so here we have... This is that new button that I talked about, update firmware. Now, if you notice down here is the firmware version, and this is the thing I want to drive your attention to because I want to update this firmware, okay? So its current firmware is weekly 159, okay? So now I want to do something really complicated and hit the update firmware button.
You love buttons.
Yes. And so there we go, and boom, you see the URL of new firmware, and it's pointing at this thing. So now here's what's going to happen. I'm not going to have you sit here and watch as we pull down a new firmware image. So what we did is we actually put the new firmware on this device in a zip file. And so what you see, it's just inflating that zip file that has the new firmware. Okay. Now this is going to take a couple minutes, three or four or so, to reflash. And so while it does that, I want to actually go into detail on what you're seeing happening here to just drive this home. So what has just happened is I have initiated a device job. And what that means is, so my code, your code in the cloud, you see on the far right there, that starts an update firmware job, all right? And that's representing your code. That thing turns around to Azure IoT Hub, and it started a job. The new device management code that we're putting into the hub has a concept of job orchestrations, firmware updating being a standard orchestration that we want to be able to handle for you. Think of this way. I'm updating the firmware of this one device, right? Doug, though, showed you a picture of what could be a massive building with tons and tons of devices in that building. From this one portal, you'll be able to say, I need to update building 54, floor 22, room 17, all the devices in there, go. Okay? So although I'm just focusing on this one device, this orchestration can occur over many, many, many devices. Okay? So keep that in mind as we go. Now, the other thing that I want to also really, really make sure everyone's super clear on, we're initiating the job firmware update. It's a job. Firmware update. Microsoft actually is not doing the firmware upgrade itself, okay? What we do is we send to the device And this is also application defined. You guys send that parameter in terms of where to pull the firmware image, right? We send that to the device, and then it's your code that is responsible for pulling down that image and then doing something with it, right? Microsoft is not going to upgrade your, it's not actually going to perform the upgrade. We're going to let you guys brick your device. We're not going to do that for you, right?
We're just the messenger. We're just the messenger.
that probably came out wrong. So then your code then downloads the firmware, and you basically report back to the hub, and you say, look, I got the firmware, all right? And now I want you to monitor the state changes. Because if you notice over here on the right, this,
wrong computer.
Yeah, so real quick, switch back. So you notice over here on the right, that is communicating. It's basically, there's a pulse that's happening there in order to get progress. And it says, okay, it's updating. Okay, you can pack back. Go back there. Okay. Now, you've got another chance to hook in your code so that anytime during the job execution, you can go update some UI like I just showed you. That's what status of the job. That's a key piece of this because you need to understand if the job is running, maybe you shouldn't start one, blah, 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 right? Then you actually apply the update. And this is where the actual flashing begins that is currently running right now on this device. And that's, so this is the monitor state changes tells the device management code, that is the Azure device management, hey, tell the application code, event the code to go and apply the update. And then your code then does the flash, okay? I hope this is, my fear is that this gets overly complicated, and I hope it's not. But now it's your code that actually does apply the update. And once that happens, once the update occurs, and once you've brought the device back up, you reconnect to Azure IoT Hub, and you initiate a monitor state change, and you basically say, look, we're done. The job is completed, right? So there's this pretty complicated handshake that happens, but most of that handshaking is done with the device management client API or client libraries on the device itself with a couple little hooks that you can get in there and play as well, okay? I hope that's super clear.
So the gist of it is the service will raise events that your code can respond to and will act as a messenger or a transport for the packages that you need to move back and forth, but your code is always in charge. Your code is always doing what it needs to do.
And so there I've got that last bit that said, hey, I'm done. You'll see this is now firmware update completed. The only thing that I have to do here is I don't have the auto restart, so I'm going to do the run DM client SH. And actually, I don't even need to do that. I forgot.
Nope.
Notice here, custom version, custom build hyphen. The firmware has been updated. And that little property there was actually sent from that device management library up to the hub. What is Hytham? He's the developer that wrote this code. So yay, Hytham.
Good job, Hytham.
Okay. And that's it. And with a little bug here, I should just refresh this, and you'll see it's actually being represented there as well. And that's it. So that real complicated handshake that happens is actually a very well-defined, orchestrated handshake that we can then go and run that over thousands and thousands of devices. And firmware upgrade is just one. We're going to have a number of other jobs that come right out of the box, like a reset, restart, reconfigure, that sort of thing. Okay?
All right. Excellent job, Cameron. Thank you.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cameron Skinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just like a little applause when I walk up. That's why I do it.
So painful.
All right. So that was one of the four things that we made announcements on that I promised you we'd tell you about. The other one is our new Azure IoT Gateway SDK, which is coming very soon. The reason this is important is, and I don't know that I can stress enough, the gateway pattern is a pervasive pattern in IoT. There are lots of use cases where you have an individual device, like the Edison-based device that Cameron was working with, talking directly to the cloud and doing what it does. But there are a large number of scenarios in which you will have multiple sensors and multiple devices that sort of aggregate together into a field gateway, a device out in the field that pulls all the data from those sensors together and either manages the communications for those one by one or aggregates them into some sort of complex message and sends that up. This you see, I mean, if you have, how many people here have like home automation systems and things like that? So a lot of people.
Cool.
The gateway systems you see there are common. You have light bulbs connected and you have a hub, like a Philips Hue thing. You have a hub and all these light bulbs. Those are the slave devices. The hub is the gateway that enables all of those things to connect and share their state and their information with the cloud. We see this in cars, we see this in buildings, we see this home automation, in factories, in manufacturing, it's hugely prevalent. So we want to support that scenario, and we're developing a gateway SDK specifically for that, that will enable the connectivity of lots of sensors through a single gateway. In some cases, it might be sensors that aren't capable of communicating to the cloud directly, but can talk to a gateway device. In some cases, maybe they speak a protocol that isn't supported by IoT hubs, so the gateway becomes a protocol adapter, especially where you have legacy systems in place where you're already doing some automation or some machine-to-machine communications, but you're not using one of the protocols that we support. The gateway becomes the protocol adapter for that. Gives you everything you need to sort of build a solution that works and works well. So the gateway SDK is coming soon. Be patient. It's going to be awesome. You're going to love it. Next, we want to, it's global availability. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Sure,
we saw
sure.
this morning.
Yeah. So this is just a few new regions that the IoT hub is going to be ready at. So actually, these are out there now. So Australia, Japan, Germany, and then our roadmap. Right. This is fairly self-evident, but I do want to just state that, you know, we've got 30 regions in Azure that Azure All Up has, and whenever you bring up a new service, you know, you've got to kind of pick your battles and figure out which regions you can get into soonest. And some of the regions that are like, for instance, in Germany that have a safe harbor associated with it, they're a little bit more difficult, takes a little longer for us to get into because it's actually a third party that's dealing with the code for data privacy purposes. So we're rolling out, and we're going to get out to all 30 regions as quickly as possible.
One of my favorite things of our announcements that we're doing this week is something that a lot of people here get really excited about, which is the introduction of our Azure IoT Starter Kits. A guy on our team, Hector, has been working really hard on these to make these come to life, working with a bunch of different distributors and vendors to create kits that you can get, and they come with sensors and devices and things like that, and you can start working with them, and there's samples for all of the kits that would enable you to connect them right into Azure IoT hubs and start doing cool things. Just in this one hand, I have three of the different processors that are used in these kits. All these kits are a little bit different. And there's certainly you're not limited to these kits, but these are meant to make it easy for you to get started. Right here I have in my hand this little tiny red thing, and my point is this is very small. This is a Wi-Fi enabled development device that you can use. In fact, if you're not using this in prototyping, it gets a lot smaller than this and still gives you Wi-Fi connectivity. This is the SparkFun ThingDev. It's based on the ESP8266 processor, which is taking the IoT world by storm because it's small, it's super inexpensive, and it's Wi-Fi enabled. For a device like this, you would use the Arduino IDE, and we have SDK examples to use Arduino IDE to connect this device to Azure IoT Hub, so super cool to do that. The next device is very similar to that. This is one from Adafruit. This is the Feather Huzzah, which is also an ESP8266 chip, just from a different provider. They have different flash memory on them, so depending on what you do, the Huzzah has a little bit more flash memory than the ThingDev does, so you can get different kits for different things. These kits come not only with these processors, but also with sensors you can connect to them, and, you know, temperature and motion and stuff like that. We have another chip here, the Adafruit Feather, which is a bigger 32-bit SAMD chip. Those are all going to use the Arduino IDE and C code. One of my personal favorites that Cameron was working with in a slightly different form factor is the Intel Edison. This is a little tiny board. In fact, most of what you see here is not the Edison. Let me pop it off of here. This little thing is the Edison. This is a Wi-Fi enabled device that is capable of running Linux. So you saw it running Yocto Linux, which is the official image for this device. And then in the kit that you get, it comes with this Arduino compatible shield that you hook the device onto. And then there's another shield that pops on top of it that enables you to plug sensors right into it, so you don't have to do all the breadboarding and dealing with resistors and all that stuff. It comes with a whole bunch of sensors that just plug right in for super easy prototyping and working with, and it's a really fun device to work with. And then, of course, the Raspberry Pi 2. We have the kits for the Raspberry Pi 2 somewhere on that list. You can run Windows 10 on these devices, and you can build universal web apps or background apps in C# that run on these devices and connect right into Azure IoT Hub. So we have all of those kits now are available. If you go to the Azure IoT website, there'll be links there, and you can go buy them directly from the providers. And who has pieces of paper? Hey, look, see, I told you it would spell IoT.
Yeah. That's that. Exactly what it spells.
All right, so we have downstairs in the hub, who's been down to the hub? The little Ask the Expert, everybody, fantastic. You all know where you'll find it. That's the important part. How many people saw the big pile of boxes of these devices down there? A bunch of you. How many came to this session just because of that? That's what I thought.
Ooh.
I know. All right, so here's the deal. We have a bunch of these down there. We didn't have enough for everybody in the room, so we handed out some colored pieces of paper sort of at random. And if you have a blue piece of paper, you can take that and redeem it for one of these devices to take home.